Welcome to this edition of The High Strangeness Factor. I am your host, Steve Ward. On The High Strangeness Factor, we explore all aspects of the paranormal, with a special emphasis on the underlying, sometimes hidden connections between what seem to be different aspects of the paranormal. My guest on this episode is Missy LaMontagne. Missy and her husband, Shane, and their two children are a normal family living in New Hampshire that has experienced something truly extraordinary. And Missy, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Great. I'm glad you're here. I feel very comfortable in calling you a normal family, even though we haven't met face to face.
Right.
But you and I have spoken on the phone several times. So yeah. I will go out on a limb and say that you're a normal family. I have a friend of mine, John Tinney, who is in the paranormal and has his own website. I think it's weirdlectures.com. He sells the best T-shirts. And one of my favorites is, it says, being human is weird, which I enjoy wearing sometimes.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay. So what I want to do is just talk just a little bit about you and your family, and what kind of work do you and your husband do?
I'm just a manufacturer. I've always done manufacturing, waitressing work. My husband's a mechanic. His specialty is transmissions. So just your basic living week to week.
And you guys are in the Manchester area, New Hampshire.
Yeah, we're about 40 minutes from Boston, Mass.
Okay. Are you in a more of a rural area, or are there a lot of houses around where you are?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of houses. The town's grown. It's really grown.
And you're in a cul-de-sac, too. You're at a...
Yep.
And does that help with the level of traffic? Is it kind of quiet?
Yes, because we know who's coming up the road. I mean, you know, when you're living in a little cul-de-sac like this, you know all the neighbors. And we're lucky it's all my husband's family. He grew up in this house. So, you know, he's got cousins across the street, next door. It's, you know, LaMontagne Lane, pretty much. So, lucky there.
And you also, you said you lived to these near power lines?
Yes. Yep.
Are those giant ones you see?
Yes.
Big structures that go down. Do they ever bother you? Do you ever hear the hum or anything like that? Or is it just something that's there?
I think it's just something that's here. I never really noticed, honestly, a hum. I mean, if I have, I've just lived here for so long now. You just get used to it, or you don't really even pay attention to it, honestly. You know, we go walking through there, so there's a trail, the line. So, yeah.
You must, usually if somebody comes cruising down your street, they're lost.
And then
they're upset that they didn't see the no exit sign or the...
Exactly. It's usually a pizza delivery person that's lost.
that's pressed for time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, you also have two sons at home. Wyatt and Cameron, and they're living at home now. Okay.
Yeah, Wyatt's 17. He's graduating this year. He's going to be joining the service. He's going to be going in the Marines. Actually.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah, enlisting. So.
I spent a few years in the Navy, and I even got up to New Hampshire occasionally because I was stationed. Well, yes, I was stationed in New London, Connecticut, but we had a shipyard period for a little over a year up in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And of course you have to go into Kittery, Maine to Portsmouth. And occasionally I had my little Honda Civic. We would, me and the guys would get the heck away from the base, and we'd go cruising up in Maine or New Hampshire.
It's a beautiful area. It really is.
My wife and I have been through the White Mountains. She had never seen that before. So,
Oh, that's pretty up there,
oh yeah,
especially during the foliage.
oh yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, very pretty. But living here,
Although,
you take that stuff for granted, I guess, you know?
yes, but do you take the heavy snow for granted as well?
No. We just had another storm, as a matter of fact, so.
Yes, and so do we. I think sometimes we here in the Midwest get hit the same time you guys do.
Yes, usually I think you guys get it a couple days sometimes before. I lived in Iowa for a while, so
Okay.
yeah. But
But anyway, the re reason I'm just going to say briefly, the reason I wanted to bring up the sort of the that you're just an average family is that you're familiar with the Betty and Barney Hill case,
yeah.
the couple that were abducted in New Hampshire in '61, and pretty much all the listeners are going to be too. They very credible people. They went to Dr. Benjamin Simon, who uncovered some memories that they had. And back in those days, they even it hit the mainstream media. I mean, it was in Look magazine and so forth.
Yeah,
But
it spread quick.
they did a film, a made for TV movie. I don't know if you ever saw it. The UFO incident.
I
It
believe
had
I did.
James Earl Jones
Yep.
as Barney Hill and
Yep.
Estelle Parsons. And there's even a little connection there. We're going to be talking a little bit about Linda Moulton Howe later, but Linda Moulton Howe got a hold of a few years ago the actual tapes of Betty and Barney Hill and played
Wow.
them on Coast to Coast AM one time. And it was remarkable because James Earl Jones and Estelle Parsons, they must have heard those tapes because they got the inflection in the voice. Estelle Parsons got, Betty's New England accent perfectly. It was flawless.
Yeah, that's difficult.
Yeah.
That New England accent.
Well, I don't do accents. I don't even try
You
because
are who you
yeah,
are.
that's right. I see it in the Midwest. We think we all speak normally, so there you go.
Yeah.
But the reason I bring it up is that we had kind of an informal UFO group at the time, and I think this must have been 1976. And so we were watching this on live TV back in the days when you actually had to be there to watch something, and you
Yeah.
actually had to sit through the commercials to watch the rest of the show. But our sort of de facto leader named Lloyd, as we're watching this, he said, "Do you guys see what they're doing here?" And we said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "They're spending a lot of time showing you how normal Betty and Barney Hill are. The teleplay was excellent. They didn't just go for the spacecraft and the aliens.
Yeah.
They
Yep.
really, really, and I just made me think of you guys, how
Just average people, just
exactly.
not asking for it, that's for sure.
That's right. And it's really great that you've come forward with this, because I'm sure, I know you've already talked about it, but I'm sure that people will be helped by you coming forward with your experience.
I hope so. If more and more, come forward. I mean, we have the internet and everything else now with technology, but there's also, unfortunately, a lot of false too out there. So, and when something like this does happen, all you want is answers. That's it. That's all you want is why
Right.
and what.
Why were you chosen? And
Yeah.
as we get into this, people will see how objective you are about the whole thing. I mean, you have it seems to me the perfect balance between being open-minded and skeptical of what happened.
Yeah,
But
it should. Yeah.
let's go back to, I think it was February 19th,
Yep, it was a
2017.
Sunday morning.
Okay, to tell us what happened with the first incident that you experienced.
Well, my husband Shaw is a he's always been an early bird. He's always up 3, 4 in the morning. He's always in bed 7 o'clock at night. That's just his routine. So he was up. That morning, he was at the kitchen window having his coffee and a cigarette, and he noticed lights. And he came into the bedroom and he said, "Missy, get up." He said, "There's weird lights outside." And I had fallen back to sleep. So he came in a second time and he said, "Hurry up, get up. You're going to miss it." So I knew it was important to him. So I got up. And I remember looking at the clock on the microwave, and it it was like 4:12 in the morning, and I was like not too pleased because that's the only day I could sleep in on a Sunday. And I was like, really, you're going to wake me up at 4 in the morning to look at lights? Well, I looked, and out in the horizon, it looked just like headlights, bright white. It looked like headlights on a car or a truck, like those halogen, really bright. And I was like, wow, like, you're speechless. We live 2 miles from the Manchester Regional Airport, so we're used to planes and helicopters and everything else. So you get used to, you know, you kind of know what's what. And if that looks odd, you know, it's not right.
So you're very used to conventional aircraft.
It's, yeah.
Really stood out as something different.
Yes. And Shaw noticed it right away. And like I said, he came and got me and I looked. So we decided to go outside on our porch, you know, for a better view to see what the heck it was. Well, Shaw's standing in front of me and I had my arms wrapped around him. I could feel his heart just pounding. So I could tell he was nervous. And I said, oh, babe, don't worry about it. I said, it's probably military or something like that. And I remember telling him, go get your phone. And he said, I can't move. Well, besides that, this part, I'm still having a hard time trying to digest and just understand itself, is the next moment, I was on the other side of the porch by myself. I had my head back, and I remember my arms slightly out to my side because I remember thinking in my head, because I remember putting my arms down to my side thinking, why? I don't stand like that. People don't stand like that. Why is my head all the way back? Why am I putting my arms to my side? Like, that's weird. And above my head was this huge black triangle. No noise at all. No engine sound, nothing. It was like a subwoofer, like a hum.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Do you know if Shaw was still paralyzed at this point?
Not at this point. It was going overhead to the left, to the right underneath it. I saw two or three tiny, tiny red lights. And that was on the right side underneath it. And on the left side were like grates. Do you understand what I mean? But like,
yes.
Okay. Like opening, like grates. That's exactly what it looked like.
So it was low enough. You saw a very specific.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I could have thrown a rock at it.
Did you say that it was so low that it seemed to be touching some of the tops of the trees?
Okay. Yep. It glided the pine tree in the front yard. It was huge. I could not believe how massive.
5 to 10 minutes,
like
a quarter mile.
And it moved really slow. My husband said it took a good 5 to 10 minutes just to go a quarter mile.
And then tell us what happened. It was quite. Your reactions to it were quite odd
odd to see something like that. It hadn't even finished going over our house. And I remember putting my head forward. I remember turning my head, looking at Shaw, he looking at me, and we both walked in the house like nothing happened. You saw what I saw. Yep, you saw what I saw, and that was it. Like, I watch a balloon in the sky, like, to see where that goes. We're not, any person would, this is massive. To not watch and see where it goes?
Right. Well, this is something that seems to be not uncommon in some of these, the reactions, the sort of nonchalant. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that actually goes to your credibility. You know, somebody making up a story might tell it all differently. But so that's just really interesting. And then when was it that you figured out that you had missed some time?
I was sitting in the recliner. Now, when we first saw the lights, well, when I had gotten out of bed, to look. It was still dark out. The sun hadn't come up yet. So when the craft was over, when I saw it coming over my head, when it was overhead, now it started, it was, the sun had started coming up. So it was like dusk. You could make out the trees, but the sun wasn't all the way out. So I'm sitting in the recliner and I'm looking, and I happen to look at the clock and it was 4:47. There was no possible way in New England, and that was a mild winter, even though that was a mild winter, it's still cold, especially 4 o'clock in the morning, with no coats, in pajamas. There's no way we were out there for a half hour. Not possible.
And then what, tell us, I know that you, this really bugged you. You wanted to know what happened. And I think you pursued several attempts to be, to find a hypnotherapist that could maybe, possibly unlock some memories that you might have had.
Yeah, well, I mean, when something like this happens, I mean, seriously, there's really no emergency numbers for anything like this.
Right.
And I wasn't going to call the local police, the authorities. Shaw, number one, he's like, no. He's like, no way. He's like, they'll think we're freaking nuts. Don't, no. He's like, just let it be, let it be. So I ended up finding Gray Star Paranormal. And his name is Jonathan. I didn't realize either at the time that paranormal, I always thought paranormal was just like ghosts, exorcisms,
right?
Stuff. You don't really think of UFOs, or I didn't anyway, as with the paranormal. So anyway, I had found his site and I saw that it said like UFO sightings and stuff like that. So I called him, and I had called him. I told him what happened, and then I had hung up. And then I remember I had called him back, and I said, because he had asked me if we thought we had time, missing time. And I, at first, I was like, well, I don't know, you know, thinking about it. And then I remember I had called him right back within 10 minutes, and I said, well, I don't understand. I explained what happened, that it was, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, and then it's 4:47, it's pitch black out, and then the sun's coming up, and we see it in the horizon, and then all of a sudden it's over my head. And he said, yeah, that's missing time. And I'm standing on the other side of the porch. I didn't know how I got there. I didn't remember walking over there. I wouldn't have walked over there. I wouldn't have left Shaw. My whole body was like wrapped around him. I was scared. And he was scared, so I certainly wouldn't have left him.
Well, so he asked the right questions. That was a Gray Star, you said, right?
Yeah.
And it seemed like they did some investigations in your house and so forth, and were very helpful.
Yeah. Him and his team came out. Oh gosh, we did a questionnaire, both Shaw and myself, over 200 questions, and they said we answered everything correctly, I guess, or they continued with us.
Right.
So, and they also recorded our first session.
Okay.
Yeah. So how do you really investigate something like this though?
Well, exactly. Like, you know, I never, you know, people, there's a, I think Peter Davenport is a guy that runs a UFO reporting place up in Washington State, and he's always railing on people to you've got to report, well, at least report it to his
database
group or whatever, I guess is okay. But he's also talking about, you know, reporting it to the authorities. I would never report personally,
no.
As someone who's been investigating this for a long time, I would never go to the authorities.
No, I couldn't. Well, number one, my husband didn't, you know, he said, no, don't call. Don't. He's like, no,
yeah,
we don't need
that. I'm with him because occasionally you're going to get a hold of somebody that will listen and will give you some credence. But for the most part, it's, you know, Yeah, well, did you
It's
see the little
giggles.
green man? Yes, it is. It's
Yeah.
giggle factor. It's like when you watch the a news broadcast and somebody has seen a UFO, they'll save it for the end and use it for a little giggle
Yeah,
on the
I
very end.
did call our local news though, that I will. I did call News 9, WMUR,
Okay.
just to ask if there were any sightings.
Oh, that was a good idea.
Because it went right over the flight pattern, you know,
Oh.
that path. We're 2 miles, like I said, from the airport. So it was right in the flight path. And I know their radar, I would assume, had to pick it up.
Sometimes people have seen. I actually talked to an air traffic controller, and excuse me. Just give me a second here.
Okay.
Had to hit the old cough button. This lady, she and one of her coworkers saw. They were in New York, I think, upstate New York. Anyway, they saw some strange lights. Here they are, air traffic controllers. They see it. They call the tower and they say, "Are you seeing anything on radar?" And they saw nothing. So you had two
Wow.
people that were actually seeing these lights. They're off at a distance. But so sometimes, but on the other hand, there are some classic sightings where there is a people, as they call them, radar visual, where somebody they see that the object's on the ground, and there's also confirmation on radar. So there just doesn't seem to be a good you can't count on any particular trend. It's always different. I just
Right.
wonder if have you ever seen a UFO prior to this?
No.
Okay, so this was the
No,
first time as far as.
I have seen, like, I guess ghosts, if that's what you want to call them,
Oh,
spirits
okay.
or whatever. When being younger, I have, but I didn't realize what it was until after the fact.
Well, sometimes it seems that I quote John Keel all the time, the author of the Mothman Prophecies, and he found that certain people seem to be prone to see they're he way he put it was
Like
people
more
could see,
open.
yes, well, a little they could see a little further into the spectrum, so to speak. They're either psychic or have latent psychic abilities, and those same people will sometimes experience ghostly phenomena and see UFOs and so forth. It isn't so much that people will just see one thing. Now the group, did they take some readings or something at your house? Did they find anything or?
Yeah, they took I guess, like the EMF
Right.
readings and stuff like that. They said everything came out fine. It wasn't, they thought where the power lines,
Oh, all
if
right.
I guess the readings would be odd or wacky. I mean, the readings, it did go crazy up by the power lines because they did go up there.
Right.
Because there were odd sightings also up in the power lines.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've checked. I've used an EMF meter in the Point Pleasant area around power lines, and even if you're way down to the ground, they will register
Yeah.
a result. So you tried several different attempts at that point to find a hypnotherapist that could work for you, and at that point in time, you were completely unsuccessful. Isn't that right?
It Jonathan, he obviously he was himself, which he found very odd because he had done numerous cases where he had worked, with his clients and getting them help to find people to do regression. And I said, yeah, I'll try it. I told him I was open to it. But he literally could not find anybody at all. He was not getting anywhere. And he just found that odd things were happening to him. So he kind of backed off for a little bit because he was actually getting sick, him
Huh.
like physically sick.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and he found that very odd. But he said, I guess it has happened to him before with another client that it was a legit
Experience.
case. Yeah, a legit experience. And he said, the same thing pretty much had happened prior. So
Now
the
I
first few times I had gone, nothing. I couldn't get anywhere. I don't know if I was just too tense or nervous.
Well, that happens. And when I first talked to you, I thought that might be it because some people really aren't good subjects. Now, I know Shaw was not interested in being hypnotized.
No, and this is, it's funny because Shaw and I both flipped. He was always, I don't want to say like always into UFOs, but he would watch the shows and he was, interested, thought it was cool, neat. Well, ever since that happened, he wants nothing, he doesn't care. It happened, let it be. He doesn't care about learning about anything, wanting to know, nothing. He's just shut down. And
Well,
I'm the one.
I kind of I've been empathizing with Shaw this whole time. I wouldn't have, I don't think I would have called anybody. And also I had a situation once where it's remotely possible I had a little bit of missing time, probably not, but I don't know that I would pursue that avenue. So I can completely understand that. And then there was a point where I guess you had seen me on Facebook and decided to call me. And that's when we first talked, and you told me your story. And at that point, you now later on, people will find out you did make a breakthrough with the hypnosis thing. We'll get to that in a moment. But we had a conversation, and what I want to tell people is that I've been doing this at least as a hobby since the 1960s, and back in those days, I also didn't connect ghosts and UFOs and all these things together. I was a UFO guy, had no interest or patience for ghost stories or anything like that. And but later on, that's changed with some of the research and so forth of John Keel, that's changed. So but since then, now John Keel, he had sort of a catchphrase. He called it, he said, ask the experiencer what they had for breakfast. And of course he wasn't speaking literally. What he meant was find out about the individual. So I asked you a series of really weird questions that time, and it turned out that there were a lot of other things that have happened to you before and after
And
the
Shaw,
incident. And
and
yes,
also
and Shaw
Shaw growing up.
and you're and oh Shaw, okay, we'll get to try and get to that too. By the way, if we may not be able to get to everything, and I would love to have you come back sometime because your experience is fascinating. But anyway, we still have some plenty of time. I asked you if because the research of Rosemary Ellen Guiley, she found that she was studying shadow people one time, people
Oh,
who have
yeah.
these experiences, and she found that a significant percentage of those people were also experiencing abduction phenomena like you did. And then
Wow.
you told me you had a shadow person
Yep.
experience.
It was at, I was working at a manufacturing place, and I had gone there early in the morning. It was a Saturday morning. I want to say it was an early Saturday morning. And I was going to meet my supervisor there to finish some work that we had had, prior that week. So in those places, it's really bright. It's fluorescent lights and the walls were all white, so it's really bright in there. I went in and I'm sitting there at the desk. I was waiting for my boss to get there and still waiting. And then all of a sudden, when you feel like somebody's coming in, or you get that feeling like somebody's there. Well, I turned and I saw a person, a shadow on the wall. And it was a man and he had a coat, a long coat, like a raincoat, and one of those, like a, is it a fedora hat?
Yes, Fedora, right.
Well, I was like, oh, well, someone's here. So I saw the shadow go into one of the rooms, and I walked into one of the rooms thinking that he was gonna walk out. Well, there's only one way and one way out in this room. Well, he didn't come out. So then I'm like, well, wait a minute. So then your mind starts thinking, like, well, what was that? Because I know I saw a figure, a person.
Right.
But then again,
That's
I didn't hear footsteps or anything.
okay. That's classic. Some people call him the Hat Man. People see these shadow people wearing hats and so forth. And I don't, maybe it's maybe it's just an offshoot of an apparition or a ghost. I don't know, but
I was
interesting.
Out of there. I called.
Yes, but I don't blame you. And this happened before the UFO
incident.
Oh,
way
incident.
Before.
Way
I
before.
I
want to
say this happened. I want to say 8 or 9 years ago.
Okay, the time factor isn't that important because certain people just seem to be experiencers. Now, I've had very little in the way of experiences. I mean, I could tell you my life story of paranormal happenings in 5 minutes if I was speaking slowly.
Yeah.
Now also your sons have experienced. Well, you said Shaw
orbs.
Has orbs. Oh, that's right. Let's talk about the orbs. They
well,
both
Shaw's
have, right?
actually experienced the same thing when he was young. He was about 8 or 9 years old. And his cousin Dana was living here at the house with them. And I think Dana was like 12. And Shaw's sister, Marcia, she was like 12 or 13. In the backyard, they saw a huge white orb. And it was just hovering there in the backyard. He said it was humongous. And all three of them saw it. And I think it was that Marcia ran to go get mom. And by the time the parents came into the bedroom, he said it just pinged, just took off towards the power lines. And they saw it go out towards the power lines and then ping, ping up to the sky.
Wow. So you said Shaw has been in this house his whole life.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
He was born here.
So the you might say the house or the area itself has been a, yes, odd, or a, I don't know, an attractor of paranormal phenomena, or maybe it's always been there even before the house was built.
Right.
Hard to say.
Yeah.
Now, both your sons have experienced orb phenomena.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Cameron was, I want to say he was around two and a half, maybe a little older. He was sleeping with Shaw and I. He never wanted to sleep by himself. He just recently actually started sleeping alone, and he's going to be 12. He was always afraid, always. He had woken up. He was in between us, and he had told us that he was looking out the window on the right-hand side that's in between the house and our garage. There's like a walkway, a path there. And he said that it was an orangey-red ball of light. And he said it was kind of playing with him, like peekaboo.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just watching it. And then he said it just zoomed away. And I said, oh, Kim, I said, that was probably tail lights you saw, honey. Don't you think I know the difference?
Well,
he's very smart. So he knew, he saw what he saw. And my son, Wyatt is 17 now. I want to say Wyatt was 14 or 15 when this happened. Him and I were rearranging the living room. And it was probably about midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. It was just Wyatt and I. Well, I had him bring some speakers or boxes or something downstairs to the basement. Well, he came flying up the stairs and like just about fell through the door. And I'm thinking, typical teenager, he never said anything. It took him over a year before he actually ever said anything to Shaw and I about what he saw downstairs. He said he was downstairs putting the speakers away. And he said from under the staircase came a white ball of light. He said it came out from under the staircase. It went by his feet. Very slowly in front of him hovered, like circling a little round and round until it made it up to in front of his face. And it hovered there for a little bit. And then it slowly zoomed over to, it went around the washer. It went around the dryer. And then it went in between the washer and the dryer through the concrete wall and made like a suction.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they've also both experienced haunting phenomena in the house, apparitions
just,
or that sort of thing?
Yeah, Cameron more than Wyatt. Cameron would see like creepy things, he would say, creepy people. He didn't really get too much into it. He would just shut it down. But he also would see, when he was really little, he would always talk about certain people that he liked their colors. And I didn't understand what he was talking about.
Oh.
Yeah.
So he was seeing auras then.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's grown out. He's hasn't spoken really of anything in a long time. So.
That happens a lot too. Sometimes, as you know, young children seem to be much more sensitive and experience these things. And as they get older, you know, it just kind of goes away.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would have done if I never really experienced anything like that when I was a kid.
Yeah,
was,
me neither.
I was afraid of the going down to the basement alone. You know?
Yeah, me too.
That sort of thing. So, you know, but if I had, you know, something extra to be concerned about, I don't know how I would have processed it.
Well,
but,
I feel bad because I kind of, I feel guilty as a mom because I didn't really pay attention. And it took Wyatt a good couple of years before he would even go down to the basement again.
Well, it's hard when, you know, my wife is sensitive and she has been all her life. And it's hard when you're not somebody that's tuned into that and other people are. It's kind of hard to process. And it took me a while for it to kind of sink in, you know, that it's something real and something that goes on.
I just wish, I guess, he would have said something instead of suffering with this.
Right. I think it's just normal. I mean, kids are, you know, embarrassed, about I mean, kids get, have enough trouble.
Right. Exactly.
Just the regular life that, boy, you add something like this on. And this is another great reason why you're coming forward is because other families will hear this that have children that have had experiences like this and they can talk to them and, you know, with some degree of understanding of what might have happened to them. Now, I remember, I'm not sure how many of these we'll get to because pretty soon I want to get to your experience and what was revealed. But I asked a lot of these so-called John Keel questions. And one of them I said, I remember saying to you that I know this is going to sound weird, but sometimes people that have these UFO experiences have also seen some kind of a cryptid, like a Bigfoot or whatever. And you said, well, no, you hadn't. But then you thought of somebody in your family that had seen something strange.
Actually, it was my mother-in-law. She lives in Arizona now, and Shaw's sister, Marsha, and her cousin, her name is Missy also. Well, Shaw's mom saw it. It was a black panther, half man. I guess the lower part was like a man.
Like, so it was literally standing upright when they saw it.
Yeah, it was leaning against a tree, and there's a path.
How close was this to your house?
Very close. I'm actually looking at the path right now.
Oh, okay. So it's
standing in front of the kitchen window that I.
So all these things are really happening in the same proximity.
Yep.
And then, so what happened? How did they react?
I don't know if she. Well, I don't know how she really reacted then. Honestly, it was so many years ago, but she never said anything. I don't think to the kids. Obviously, they were young, but. Marsha, Shaw's sister, and her cousin Missy saw it years later. The same thing. It wasn't like they all saw it together. It was years later.
Did they see it in different areas or was it in the same general area?
It was in the same general area. I don't know if it was like the same tree, but it was the same path. And I went flying. They saw the panther, half man. It was a black panther. Half man leaning against the tree, and they just freaking flew, I guess, running.
No, you know, didn't.
I would too.
Sound like a dumb question, but did it have clothes on, or was it just like a creature with the fur and so forth?
I think they said it was just like a creature. They didn't notice clothes or anything. They just couldn't believe what they were seeing.
Well, that's interesting because I haven't actually heard a report like that, but there are many of what they call these black cat sightings, these giant black cats that, and there aren't supposed to be any panthers or black panthers,
No.
anywhere in the U.S.
No.
And but most of those are on all fours, although they're very credible sightings. And then we have, well, especially here in Michigan, we have what they call the Michigan Dog Man, and many, many credible people. In fact, a lady, a researcher I know named Linda Godfrey, has wrote her first book called The Beast of Bray Road, where she started documenting these upright canids. And
Wow.
very, very credible reports. Some of them have been seen in just a matter of miles from where I live. Now, of course, I've never seen anything like that, but it sounds kind of a similar similar category.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, you'll get your basic Bigfoot reports. You'll get people report the Jersey Devil and so forth. Every once in a while, you'll get something that seems to be a little bit of an aberration, like the upright panther. Now, there may be more in the literature that I don't know about, but
Yeah.
that's really interesting that several different people saw this over a period of time.
And they've all said the same exact makings or markings, the same. Their story was exactly the same. So, yeah, I stayed with them, forever. It's when you have an experience, like any type of experience that makes you scratch your head, it sticks with you and you question your own sanity.
Oh,
I
sure.
mean,
And you keep it to yourself. I mean, you might tell your family or close friends, but the last thing you're going to do is bring it up in conversation over breakfast or something like that with some
yeah,
friends.
see, I think that's where I drive Shaw crazy is he's like, you just talk way too much. I wouldn't want you on my side if there was a war.
Yes, loose lips sink ships, that's for sure.
Yes. He's like, you gotta stop. But I want answers and I know exactly what happened for myself. I know what I saw, I know what I experienced. And that's not normal for me at all. And it scares, it's scary, even to this day. I still think about it every day, every single day.
So finally, you're the gentleman from Greystar. What was his name again?
Oh, Jonathan.
Jonathan. Was he the one that recommended a therapist when you finally made a breakthrough to?
Actually, no, that was my doctor, my
Oh, okay.
physician.
All right.
I happened to actually have an appointment with him that Monday. So we had that experience that happened Sunday. So I saw him that Monday. I was a wreck. He's known me for a long time and I broke down bad. And I mean, I feel like he believed me. When I see him, he still asks me questions, how I'm doing. And he told me about some friends that he had that had experiences themselves, or, So he gave me a number of a friend that I guess is a psychiatrist and also does the hypnosis.
Right.
But I think he more generally would do like to lose weight, stop smoking, stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he was just as intrigued, I guess, as I was trying to try it again. See what happens. I was
Well,
just.
you were very fortunate. Your family doctor sent you to somebody
Yeah.
that was not only qualified and a professional, they were very much open to helping you and not brushing you off as somebody that's I don't know, just
Yes.
imagining things.
Which he could have right away. I mean, I don't know what I would have done if it was the other way around, honestly.
Well, Benny and Barney Hill, when they went to Dr. Benjamin Simon, I guess his expertise was he helped people that had been in the war and had bad memories
Oh,
of
okay.
being in battle and so forth.
Like a
And so,
PTSD type?
yes, and probably before they were calling it that.
Yeah.
And so he would take people back and it would help them overcome their bad memories and their fear and so forth. So he wasn't, he certainly wasn't known as a abduction researcher. I mean, now there are people that do specialize in that.
Yeah.
But
Yeah,
anyway,
and this
tell
guy
us.
wasn't either.
Oh, right, good. So he was probably, I would imagine then, he was not somebody that was going to be asking leading questions. You know, he was probably very objective. Some, I
Yeah.
mean, they've said that sometimes people under hypnosis, if they're asked very leading questions, you know, that can kind of partially form the experience that may not be
Yeah.
completely real. But it sounds like this guy not really being part of that was such a much more objective approach.
Yo, definitely. No, he was very, very professional. It's hard for me to, with the regression, honestly, because I don't know if I have that stuff there from watching shows, watching movies, the internet, speaking to other people. That wasn't my reality, like seeing and experiencing the craft.
Right.
That was reality. That was real. 100%.
So that's another thing in my discussions with you. That's always impressed me that you're very you're not ready to just believe
No,
that
not at
this is
all.
the right. You know because you don't have any conscious memories of it. You know that, you know,
Correct.
something happened, you lost time, there's
Yep.
something mysterious going on. But why don't you just go ahead and tell us what the hypnosis was. It just one session, by the way,
Yep,
where you
it
made the
was just
breakthrough?
the one. It was
Okay.
just that one session. So he took me back to the time and the day and everything, and I felt like I was really here. I could feel myself being lifted away from Shaw. But I didn't have that. I had the falling feeling for like a split second. I knew I was being lifted. And then I was fine. It was like I was okay. And then all of a sudden, I was laying on a table, like a medical table in a medical room. But the room
Okay.
was round.
Now, apparently, it seems like even though Shaw wasn't put under regressive hypnosis, it doesn't sound like he was part of this.
No, he wasn't.
Okay.
He just. And what's kind of odd too is we both have to agree to disagree because his experience was totally different than my experience. We saw the same thing, but we both have two different encounters, I guess, if that's how you want to say
Yes,
it.
and that's not uncommon either. I know some people personally that had a strange experience that is very similar in many respects. Even Betty and Barney Hill, while their experience was very similar, some of the facial features of the what they called the aliens were a little different. So that's also not unusual to have that kind of a
Oh,
different perspective.
well, to save our marriage, we both have to just agree to disagree.
Well, that's
So,
true with all marriages, isn't
yes.
it?
But I remember I was laying on a table, and to my left hand side, I'm laying on the table. And when I would turn my head to the left, there was this creepy, ugly thing kept going into my face, looking in my face, like putting his face right directly into my face. He was more whitish silver, that color,
Okay.
not really gray. He was more like a white, like white silvery.
Was he sort of like a gray, but only a lighter color, or was it something different? Okay.
He, you know, the big black creepy eyes
Yep.
and
Okay.
a mean looking face, very
Okay.
mean looking face. I don't know if that makes sense, but just real
It's
creepy.
okay.
I want to say he was maybe a little under 5 feet tall, about
Okay.
that. But he kept putting his face into my face. And that literally just scared the crap out of me.
Now, there were some other, I don't know, for lack of a better word, entities or beings in the same room there.
To my right was, she felt very motherly. She was beautiful, absolutely gorgeous. She was very tall, blonde hair, just beautiful. What I would think is absolutely stunning and beautiful, that's exactly what she looked like to me, and that's how she sounded. She had the sweetest voice, even though she didn't look at me and like talk to me, like move her lips. She was like in my mind talking to me, but she had like a very sweet, pure voice.
Was she being reassuring?
Oh yeah, very much so. She kept telling me not to pay attention to him, to look at her. And she kept saying, now we go through this all the time. You always get upset. Just look at me. We're almost done. Like reassuring me. And
implying like this had happened before then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Just telling me it's okay. Shaw's fine. He's almost done. He's okay. You know, just kept reassuring me over and over and having me look at her and not to my left. Right. But I remember looking forward and there was this real creepy looking. Did you ever see Toy Story?
Oh, yes. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay. That spider with the baby
yes.
head on it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what it looked like to me. Except
okay.
it had the face or like the thing that was next to me, whatever that was. But like that. But it looked like a more spider.
Were you conscious of any kind of a medical procedure or anything like that, or you were just laying there?
Just laying there, basically.
Oh, okay.
Now, yeah.
Wasn't there something else? Was it more toward your feet? There was another thing
That's
there?
That's what was towards my feet, that spider
okay.
looking. He was oh, against
okay.
the wall.
Oh, okay.
And I kind of felt like he was telling that other, whatever it was to my left, it was like they were kind of communicating with each other.
Okay.
Like he was telling him or whatever what to do. Because he kept, every time I would look to the left, turn my head to the left, I could only turn my head left or right. And every time I would turn it to the left, he would literally put his face in my face.
Hmm.
Ugh.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you telling us this. I know it can't be easy or comfortable, but like I say, this I guarantee this is going to be something that will help people.
But that's not my reality. Also,
that's right. That's right, because you don't really know if this is an objective thing that happened. One thing that's kind of interesting. I'm always looking for patterns, and one of the things that, if you look back into traditional folklore, and compare that to some like the fairies and so forth, they had missing time. Only instead of going on a UFO, you would end up in the underground kingdom of the little people or a mountain or something like that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of similarities between beliefs and stories and folklore to some modern day UFO experiences. So there is one, and this may have nothing to do with it, but oftentimes when people had encounters with the little people, there would be the tall fairy queen there, and then the others, the fairies or whatever, sometimes not particularly attractive, they would be much shorter.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else has pointed, a great researcher named Joshua Kuchin has written a book making some of these comparisons, and it just struck me that again, you know, we don't know what has actually happened,
right?
But it may not even matter that it really happened. It still may have a reflection on, you know, folklore of the past.
Yeah,
and so forth. Is there anything else that you can think of that happened during this particular experience that you think might be important?
No, not too much. Just we were both kind of speechless. I don't want to say the doctor's name because I didn't, you know, speak with him or get permission. But
right, no, that's all right. I'm sure that it's very possible he wants to remain anonymous anyway in his
yeah.
practice, because of the way that people look on things like this. And
yeah,
and thank you know, I'm just so happy that you found somebody of that caliber that was able to help you.
So was I, but I don't know if I'll ever do it again. Honestly,
no, I don't know that. You really need to pursue it.
Like he said, memories, good, bad, indifferent, whatever. He said, memories eventually will come back.
Okay.
It may take years, could take a year, could take 20 years. He says, but memories most oftentimes they do come back. But that day, what was very odd, if I could tell you really quickly,
sure.
When I got into the car. I was driving home. I was going to call Jonathan from Graystar. Now, him and I had not spoken, I want to say, at least a good 4-6 months, maybe longer. Well, I called him because I wanted him to let him know what took place and how it went. Well, he was about to call me, which was, we're flabbergasted with that.
That's like, a synchronicity right there. But
yeah.
Tell us what he's actually, didn't he stop you first? You were about to tell him you had a breakthrough. And what did he tell you?
He said, hold up. He says, I just have to tell you something really quick. He says, before you say anything, I had phone in hand. He says, I was about to call you. He had a dream that night prior that whatever took us, he said it was the Grays. They had allowed him to come into our room, our bedroom, and showed him what had been taking place and going on, I guess, with
essentially
Don
saying that you, that yes, they were, I don't know, examining you or so forth. And did he get the feeling like, you know, like, don't worry, this is what we're doing, and it's nothing to
it's
worry
just
about? Or
protocol. Regular, yep, procedure. It is what it is. It's been happening for generations.
And I think you also, I mean, I don't know that if he was prone to have these, it was like an out-of-body experience because he described things in your room that demonstrated that he knew.
He knew where everything was. He knew which side of the bed I slept on, which, you know, 50-50, anybody could probably really get that if they wanted to guess or whatever. But what really creeped me out was he even said to a T perfectly the pajamas that I was wearing.
Wow.
And they were the pajamas that Shaw had actually gotten me for Christmas, that Christmas. He described them perfectly.
This is an amazing corroboration.
Yes.
I mean, this helps you to know that regardless, we don't really know exactly what's going on or what it all means, but we know that
something,
nobody's crazy here. There's something substantive going on here.
But if you weren't crazy before, you could probably be crazy after.
Maybe you'll have to get one of those T-shirts I talked about.
I would like one. I would wear it proudly. But it does change a person. It truly, truly, it really does.
Yes, but
I don't know if we'll ever get answers, honestly.
But what's always impressed me about you is how clear and lucid and forthcoming you are and thoughtful about your experience.
Thank you.
And I'm so happy that you contacted me. I feel like we're friends, and I would love to meet you guys in person sometime. So that would be
great. That would be great. I would enjoy that myself. Like, I don't know, just when somebody goes through this, you just really want answers. And I don't know if the government will ever come out, but when I did speak with Linda, which I was surprised, she called me over the summer, which was actually accidentally that she called me, which is kind of funny,
because
she called and she asked for a Bob. She was trying to get a hold of a man named Bob.
Huh.
Yeah. And I said, oh, Linda, I said, you know, my name is Missy LaMontagne. I emailed you. You emailed me, blah, blah, blah. And she said, well, I really, really need to speak with Bob. I promise I will call you back. But I didn't think she was going to. And lo and behold, she did. And I told her my story, what happened. And she said, as far as she knows, there's nothing in our government that would have that technology or reason why it takes somebody like Sean and I have that happen to us.
I agree. I mean, there's some rumors about these giant black triangles, and maybe they do have some, but the rest of the experience just doesn't make any sense at
all. Yeah, that's what exactly she said. So,
Well, Missy, we're coming close to the end of our time, and I want to thank you, Missy LaMontagne, for a great hour and for sharing your experience with us.
Oh, anytime, Steve.
And I hope to see you again soon, like I say. And I also need to thank our fearless leaders at Paranormal UK Radio, Irene Allen Block, Mark Johnson, I also need to thank my phenomenal producer, Andy Mercer, who's also my part-time co-host. The music was by Brian Zeller, and I am Steve Ward, your humble host here on the High Strangeness Factor, a displaced yank here on Paranormal UK Radio. Thanks for listening. I will see you all again in a fortnight. Take care.